From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Sustained by Feeding. The text is John chapter 6 and verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We live by virtue of our union with the Son of God. As God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus lives by the self-existent Father who has sent him. And in the same manner, we live by the Savior who has quickened us. He who is the source of our life is also the sustenance of it. Living is sustained by feeding. We must support the spiritual life by spiritual food, and that spiritual food is the Lord Jesus, not his life or death or offices or work or word alone, but himself as including all these. On Jesus Himself we feed. This is set forth to us in the Lord's Supper, but it is actually enjoyed by us when we meditate upon our Lord, believe in Him with appropriating faith, take Him into our lives by love, and assimilate Him by the power of the inner life. We know what it is to feed on Jesus, but we cannot speak it or write it. Our wisest course is to practice it, and to do so more and more. We are entreated to eat abundantly, and it will be to our infinite profit to do so when Jesus is our meat and our drink. Lord, I thank Thee that this, which is a necessity of my new life, is also its greatest delight. So I do at this hour feed on Thee. As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, What We Must Learn from How God Blessed Abraham. The text is found in chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Here, the Apostle Paul uses Abraham to illustrate how God justifies sinners. The passage quotes from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, where Moses wrote, "Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Paul goes on to say that these words were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but also for all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. In other words, all men are justified in the same way Abraham was, by faith in Christ. The key to the passage is in the words of verse 24, "But for us also." At the heart of these words lies the truth of the reliability of God's Word. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, what we must learn from how God blessed Abraham.
How could something written by Moses, hundreds of years after Abraham had died, how could that possibly be written for his sake? It seems that here we're dealing with what is called an anachronism, something that's displaced as to the chronology of history. This is something taking place hundreds of years later, this writing, and yet it's attributed to Abraham. But it's not an anachronism at all. It was written for his sake. We will, of course, to note that there is a preposition here that's translated for his sake or for our sake, and later it's translated simply as for. Four times this occurs in our text. And the meaning of it is simply because of, or on account of. Thus what Paul is saying is, what Moses wrote was not on account of Abraham only. That is, it was written not only because Genesis 15:6 is applied to Abraham, but it's written on our account, it's written because it's applied to us just as truly as it's applied to Abraham. In fact, it's applied to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, Paul says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, God will impute to us the very same righteousness that he imputed to Abraham, because he delivered the Lord Jesus Christ because of our sins, or on account of our sins, and raised him again from the dead because of our justification, or on account of our justification. Now I have emphasized that in this text, this for, or this for the sake of, this because of, or on account of, occurs four times. The first two really speak of the same thing. It was written for our sake. It was written on account of us, because of us. Then Christ was delivered because of our sins. And Christ was raised because of our justification. Now when you're interpreting Paul's words here, when he gives a construction like that, it must not be overlooked. We must not impose our own structure on something upon which the Holy Ghost has already set his structure. And I want you to look at these because ofs. First of all, you will see that Paul deals with the reason for the record given to us in Scripture. It was written because of us. It was written on account of us. Now this is not only a valuable insight into Paul's attitude to Scripture. Something vastly more important, it's an insight into God's purpose in writing the Scriptures. I want you to see this. It's so simple that you could pass over it. God wrote Genesis, Paul says, because of us. God inspired this Bible because of us. He had us in mind. There's a reason in Scripture, and that reason is intimately, personally, individually related to us. What goodness there is in the Lord here. We have God's book written by the inspiration of God's Spirit, preserved by the constant overseeing grace and power of the same Holy Spirit, brought down to us in our own language even, to address us where we are, as we are, with all the needs that we have. We have God's Word, and even in the writing of it, He had us in mind. It's written because of us. It's written to give us a completely reliable revelation. Do you see that he's talking about what Moses wrote? Moses gave word for word what God said to Abraham, even though Moses wasn't there. And I would just say this to you. Forget about all the philosophical, pseudo-scholarly opinions that are now even being accepted among so-called conservative commentators, that Moses had before him various documents that had come down through tradition, and he was weaving his way through them and picking this and that and the other. Let me tell you, Moses was not dependent on myth or fable or tradition or opinion. Moses had his word directly from God. Moses was inspired to write what he wrote. And he gave us by inspiration, not by his own predilection, not by his own prejudice, not even by his own training as one of the learned men of Egypt. He gave us by divine inspiration and insight a completely reliable revelation. I really shouldn't take time on this, except because I'm fulfilling Mike's prophecy, except that even among people who ought to know better, the Word of God is under attack. The kind of thing you used to expect in liberal journals is now turning up in so-called conservative circles. People who pretend to be committed to Scripture are actually undermining Scripture, denying Scripture, questioning Scripture. I want to tell you that this Old Testament is not a collection of Jewish myths and fables and traditions. It's God's own book. Here we have God-given truths of continuing power and authority. And you can rely upon it. What this Bible presents as history is history. Now let's nail that. Doesn't matter how improbable to the minds of men. Doesn't matter how remote from the current experiences of men. What this Bible records as history is history. And because in British history or American history, there is nothing comparable to the dividing of the Red Sea, is no argument why God did not divide the sea as the Bible says it. The fact that nobody knows of someone who's been able to have the experience Jonah had, although actually there are people who claim similar things have happened, But the fact that no one else has been a Jonah does not say one word against the historicity of what God says happened. want you to understand this. This is a completely reliable revelation. That's why God gave it. You see, you and I are on a course to eternity. We are immortal souls that are going to live forever. We need more than the opinions of the philosophers of the world. How many people today study Plato? How many people study Aristotle? And of those who do, how many understand anything about them? But say you studied them all, and you had at your fingertips all the schools of philosophical thought of all the ages. What certainty could you have concerning God and your soul? You'd end up where Plato ended up, in a great dark cave with no light. But God has given us His Word. Totally reliable. All Scripture, Paul says, is given by inspiration of God. Breathed by the mouth of God. And therefore, it is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. It will teach you truth. It's profitable for reproof. It will correct your conscience. It will correct your life. It will instruct you in the way of righteousness, in order that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. God gave us His Word. It was written to give us a message that's perpetually relevant. When you read the old histories of the Old Testament, remember that here you have more than history. This is a living book. This book is vibrant. The Bible says that it is quick. That is, it's alive and it's powerful. This is a living book. It's like no other book on earth. Never forget that. It's tragic the way we treat our Bibles. It's tragic the way we read our Bibles. We come to a book of life and we read it like a bunch of zombies or corpses. And every one of us is guilty of this. There's none holier than the other. But this is a living book. You come to the histories of the Old Testament and you'll find that they're relevant to you and me today. What does the Bible tell us? Paul says later in Romans chapter 15 verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. When he was writing to the Corinthians in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9 he says, it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Then he asked the question, does God take care of oxen? Now, he's not denying that God had a plan that they should be dealing justly even with their beasts. But is the real purpose of this, the highest purpose, is it stuck at the level of the ox? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. So he's going back to the histories of the Old Testament. He's going back even to some of the enactments of the Old Testament that seem to us, on first sight, to be so removed from our lives today. And he says, listen, this was written for you. There's a message here that's relevant. When you start the day and you get before God, you cry to God, Lord, speak to me. And as I said this morning at the communion table, let us kneel forever as heresy this new brand of Calvinism, well, not altogether new, except in other days it was called by other names. This vicious onslaught in the name of Calvin, getting into the church to deny that there's such a thing as the Bible speaking to you, to deny that it's possible to know the will of God for your life, or be guided through the Scriptures, or through the Spirit using the Scriptures. Is it any wonder we have a bunch of dead and dying churches when we have pinhead preachers who know philosophy and theology, but they know nothing of the will of God? Men and women, let me tell you tonight, this is written for you. God can speak to you through His Word. God can take this Word and write it indelibly upon your heart and guide your life and fill your mind with light where others are wandering around in the morass of darkness. It's always relevant. God has written it for us.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.